People are obsessed with obsessed and the use of the word obsessed. But sometimes the word obsession is the only word you could use when somebody says, oh my God, I am obsessed with X, Y, Z, all that kind of caper. But in the case of Johnny B, this is real obsession because the 1926 census came out and it changed his life because he learned so much about his family on both sides going back many, many generations that he was never aware of. Johnny B!
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm good, boy. I'm good. Are you in Cork? Are you back in your second pad in Lisbon? Where are you hanging out at the moment, the Glen or Lisbon?
I'm back in Lisbon now.
Okay. So you came across the 1926 census, right?
Yeah.
And you wanted to find out more. I'm so envious of you, the areas in which both sides of your family lived, right in the heart of old Cork. Pick up that. You decided to go on a bit of a journey, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So I started the family tree during the pandemic and I'd kind of got a good bit of information, but, you know, there was pieces missing. And I kind of traced back a little bit, especially on my dad's side. There was a lot more information around my great-grandmother, kind of around that area.
And do you mind it wasn't kind of conversations that you could have had with your dad because he died when you were young. I mean, you know, wasn't that the case?
Yeah. My dad passed away when I was 18, but I used to see my dad every week, but him and my mom separated when I was about 2 years old, so I never really even knew any of that side of the family to even ask these questions, you know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of just trying to figure it all out, and then the 1926 census came out, and it just opened up a whole slew of information. Like, it's fascinating.
Yeah, and go on, share it with us on both the, this would be the Toomey side and the Goulding side, right?
Yeah, so I was able to open up the whole kind of Toomey timeline, the whole Goulding timeline, which essentially centres around my great-grandmother, Eliza Goulding. So she married my great-grandfather, John Toomey, and they ended up living in corporation buildings by 1926. But even when you go back a bit further, I was able to go back to the Toomey timeline back to the 1880s or so. And that side of the family grew up around Kyle Street for generations, all the way up till even the 1911 census, they were still living there.
What were they doing?
My grandfather. Just multiple different things. I mean, you could see on some of the wedding certificates, you could see what their job titles were and stuff. So, you know, lots of the men were labourers working in or around the city there. But a lot of the females in the family were working in the markets. You know, that was their main thing. And essentially, even before the Shawleys that we know of the 1900s, they were still working the markets back throughout the famine times, essentially what brought to the present day Shawleys that we know about, you know. It was just such a staple of that
so
area.
Living on Kyle Street, working intergenerational on the coal quay, and having 12 children.
Yeah, on the Toomey side, they had about 12 kids, and my great-grandfather was John Toomey, so he was about the third or so born. He was born in 1903. I was able to see that. And my great-grandmother was born in 1904, just across the way. So, like, they lived over her side of the family, the Goulding side, lived over around Harper's Lane, which is now called St. Paul's Avenue.
Yeah.
And there was loads of different streets there where St. Paul's car park was. You know, all these small streets with all these houses, they're all, you know, the shopping centre's there now.
Yeah, and
but there was tons of streets around there as
well.
And
actually, if anybody ever walks the North Main Street, you can see where a lot of those streets used to be. They've put plaques down now marking where a different lane would have been that are no longer. And there's easily a dozen of them that are gone now. But you talk about Kyle Street and Curtis Lane and Harper's Lane and, you know, the Coal Quay area and all of the beautiful corporation buildings, which are just gloriously beautiful. But it would have been very much hand to mouth for a family living on Kyle Street in probably a very small home, you know, trying to eke out a living on the coal quay and trying to feed and clothe 12 children. There was no children's allowance. There was no social welfare support at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you think about it, you know, it's, you know, over 100 years ago, we'd have been a very different Ireland altogether. You know, back then they didn't even have, you know, proper toilets, running water in that sense, you know, like, you know, when you talk about the very early 1900s and around corporation buildings, it's amazing that they're still there. And I've never been down there, and going down was like walking back in time because it still had that old kind of Victorian look about it, you know,
totally
different to kind of the other side of Cork that we know now. And Yeah, I mean, what it is about the, fascinates me about the Shawleys and stuff is that you have to think, like, this would have been a horrible time for women in Ireland as well. You know, like, women weren't allowed work. You know, they had to look after the family. This was how it was. So these women, like, forged a whole new culture in Cork of essentially going around that loophole, right? So they were able to, like, start their own businesses. That was allowed. So by having these stalls and essentially building them over the 1900s, became their empires. It became their businesses. And because of that, they were able to feed their families, have that extra little bit of income, build this community and build a life for themselves. And all, you know, like you said, 12 kids there on one side of the family. It was cousins, aunts, uncles, everything, you know, everyone kind of came together.
Looked at a lot of the census myself, actually, the 11 and the 26. And unfortunately and sadly, way back in the day, those that had big families, not all of the children survived. There's a part on the census that talks about deceased children, and no family with a big family would have not had a child that sadly died at birth or soon after birth, because sanitation was shocking. And the area of the city you're talking about, sanitation and conditions were shocking. People didn't live beyond their early 50s if they were lucky back then. And all sorts of things that are curable now were killing people then. You know, you had the Spanish flu, you had pneumonia, you know, things now, like pneumonia now, okay, it's very serious. There are many very serious, but all of them were curable with antibiotics. So, it was a scary, scary time. You in part of it, you mentioned an area called Harper's Lane, all right, which would have been an area where both sides of the family wouldn't have ever been too far from. That was supposed to have been a notorious area, though, you discovered, was it?
Yes, I looked that up, and like during the famine, it was a bit of a, you know, soup kitchen area, and I think it became a bit of a center point for that time. But pre-famine, I found a few bits of information that, you know, there was lots of poverty and crime around there, but also some prostitution, different things around that area was notorious for it. And apparently, and you know, the historians might be correcting me here now, but apparently because we were still a big port and we would have had a lot of sailors and stuff coming through, but there was some story that apparently the women were notorious for, you know, luring the men down and then beating them up and, like, sometimes actually killing them and robbing their purses.
Wow.
And then they throw them into the river.
Really?
And you're like, oh my God, this was like a mental time when you think about it. But also, it was like, you know, the time that it was, they probably were so desperate, you know.
Massive families, sometimes many more than one family in a tenement, sharing all sorts of tiny little rooms with no toilet facilities, no running water, nothing. Yeah. So times must, you can, like, as you hear Victorian England or Victorian London, where prostitution was certainly ripe in the Victorian age, but it was out of necessity. It was literally to survive.
Yeah. And I suppose you can call them entrepreneurial there now for, you know, robbing the purses instead.
Maybe so. But are you related to Peg? Because you talk about Toomey. Are you related to Peg Toomey, the famous Peg Toomey then from the Cole K?
Well, the funny thing about all this was when the 1926 census came out, my mom used to say to me years ago, oh, I think Peg Toomey along the way was like your great-grandmother's cousin or whatever. So I never really thought much about it because I was like, look, that's so far down the line. And when the 1926 census came out, I discovered my great-grandfather's younger brother, Pierce, was in that bloodline. And my mom was like, oh, why don't you check, you know, two or three doors extra, you know, Toomey's there. And lo and behold, I don't even know how I found it. But lo and behold, anyway, I found their wedding certificate, and wasn't that Peg Toomey? So she was ended up essentially being my great-grandmother.
Great-grandaunt. It's because I saw your video on that. You were really excited about that. You know, it's like, oh my God, we got somebody famous in the family.
Do you know, when you just don't know anything about this side of the family, and I think, you know, to Peg Toomey's store, they've done amazing to be still there amongst all of these generations, still going strong and a real part of Cork history as well. And everybody knows that shop now, you know, in our generation, everyone knows that. It's so great to see that still there. So, of course, I was like, oh my God, this is iconic. This store has been here for so many years, you know, so many generations.
Would you say it's the last of the old Cole K, perhaps?
Do you know what? A little bit, yeah. And I was saying that I called in to visit the store for the first time, and like I was just like, you know, it was so great. It was like going back in time a little bit. And I don't obviously remember the Cole K when it was in its heyday, but even in the 90s, I do remember it. And I remember it was still busy then when I was a kid. And yeah, it's like, you know, it's one of the last kind of older kind of culture elements in the Coilcay there. And, you know, I think it's really important we keep that alive down there too, because it's iconic, really. Like,
did the journey make you emotional? Did it make you feel that they had a lot of respect for the generations of your family that went before you and the times that they lived in? Do you feel that we take a lot for granted now, and we should look back and give thanks?
Oh my God, yeah, like absolutely. I mean, you think about it, these people, like these women were working 12, 14 hour days, you know, essentially is where the history of the shawl came in, because, you know, there were these big heavy garments that they used to protect themselves from the elements. But, you know, it doubled up as looking after their babies. Some of them would have newborns tucked in there, you know, and everything. And they were out working all day, every day in all these different kinds of weather conditions. And, you know, it just goes to show, like, I'm just really impressed by the women on this side of my family. It's just like they built their own businesses, they grafted, they did everything, you know, themselves for their businesses down there. And look at the culture it created. Look at the, they were strong women, like made of tough stuff down there. And it's just blown me away, the history of it. And yeah, and it was a beautiful kind of experience. It just sort of made me realize, you know, how much they would have went through back then. You know, times were so different and so much tougher. And you're just like, some of them just kept going, like until later age. My great grandmother lived, she was about, I thought it was nearly 100, that's about 86. But for that time, like,
that was extraordinary. That was
the
extraordinary.
Whole of the 1900s. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was extraordinary. Yeah. And you know, one of the big regrets that people have, I certainly have a regret that I didn't listen and ask more questions when I was young, when my grandparents were alive. Certainly my grandfather from Madden's Buildings in Blackpool, he, you know, he would talk, but half the time I wasn't listening. And I look back now and say, oh my God, but I was too young, you know, it was too young, because there were such important stories and there were such powerful stories to hear. What a great journey you went on, Johnny B, and you just put it so beautifully this morning. So have you filled in all of the blanks, or are you still questing more knowledge?
I'm still trying to figure things out. I mean, I'm having messages from people now, and it's been beautiful. Like, my second, third cousins, it's hilarious, like the amount of things that I'm connecting. And I literally got a message, this is on my book, he said, no, I didn't go down this side, yeah. But I got a message from my cousin there today, and she also did her kind of side of the family tree, specifically the Buckley side. And I found out, like, William Buckley on the hurling, the Cork hurling team, is my third cousin as well. I'm like, what the hell? You know, but you'd be connecting things. He'd probably listen now, but who the hell is this fella? But, like, the whole thing about it is, like, there's just so much. When you think about how many people would be now in present day from this bloodline, you know, there'd be so many, because you have 12 kids on one side, 12 kids on the other. All the
Ali Sherlock's, you know, second cousin, you found out. Is she on Peg Toomey's side or what?
Yeah, well, that was one of the first messages.
But she'd have to be if she's Peg Toomey's granddaughter. Do you know what I mean?
She was our great-granddaughter, yes, but it was making us third cousins. I reached out to her and I was like, I think we're cousins.
Shout up at her on stage. But,
you know, it was hilarious, though. It's just like, you know,
free tickets for all our gigs. I'm your second cousin, like.
Get on the dark side, like. You ended up finding all these brilliant things out, like John Goulding Jewelers. He had a jewellery shop down the Coilcay, and I think a lot of people remember this until about 1985, and he was my great-grandmother's younger brother. But his daughter's still alive, like, and it, you know, you think of the 1900s, I think he was born in 1913 or something. You think, oh God, that's donkeys ago. But, like, yes, his daughter's still alive now, so it's amazing how war, all that was so long ago, but yet it's so present day.
Do you think everybody should go on a journey like you did with the 26 and 11 census?
Oh, I think it's amazing. It's honestly now, it's opened up so much, and even just the connections and nostalgia that it's brought up with people, and, you know, people that I walked the streets with my whole life and never knew are, like, you know, messaging now, sending pictures, like, oh, I know you're a great grandmother, I know you're a great aunt, like all of this stuff. And I'm getting pictures from all different sides of the family, you know, that people that would have been even my dad's cousin or second cousin, you know. So it's amazing, because the immediate Buckley cousins probably wouldn't even know half of these people as
I
well.
I know. You'd be walking around strangers not realizing that there's connections. AI is great for that, actually. I'm using AI an awful lot, particularly with regards to tracing ancestors myself. I'm quite sure you're using as well. You're well aware of that. That's just a powerful tool to use. But listen to me, I'm so happy for you because you can see in the videos and you can see as you walk about that you really are excited in your quest for knowledge, and it's a wonderful thing, and you'd encourage other people to do it as well. So thanks for sharing. I'd ask other people who are listening, actually, if they've done anything similar, you know, with regards to using the senses and information to find out, because there are stories that need to be told, you know, and people need to be remembered. So listen, it's great. What's the plan today? Anything planned in Lisbon? You're going to chill out, or a bit of sunshine, bit of weather going on?
The sunshine is coming back now. So yeah, going to just chill this weekend, I think. And yeah, maybe go for a stroll around the beach or something. But sure, how bad?
How bad is right. Oh, well said. How bad? Great to catch up, Johnny B. Thanks for sharing, man. Look after yourself.
Hello.
Take care. Text 0868104106. Lovely guy. You can follow him on all sorts of different channels online and check him out yourself at Johnny Buckley Comedy. Text 0868104106. Maybe you've gone on a journey like that as well and kind of uncovered some startling information. You never know who was in the family generations back, the famous or maybe the infamous. Text 0868104106.